Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming on behalf of Torah in Motion. Thank you to Rabbi Dr. Lakshin for this amazing series. It sounds amazing. and I ask that if everybody could mute themselves if they're not already muted, and put your questions in the chat box. We'll probably be dealing with those closer to the end of this year. All right, if everyone's ready, we can begin.
Thank you very much. This is the last in our last session of our 10 session series of talks about Pshat, Midrash, and Halacha. Most of the sessions have dealt with texts that relate to what might call ritual law, religious law. Last week, we dealt with the Egla Arufa, with the heifer whose neck is broken in the situation of an unsolved homicide. This time, we will finish with an ethical or moral or social mitzvah and see the way in which this mitzvah is understood in the Midrashic literature and by the Pshat interpreters of the Torah. And maybe I should just say, if anybody hoped that in these 10 sessions, I would solve the question of Pshat, Midrash, and Halakha, I'm sorry to tell you, we will not solve it. We will yet again see another example of some tension between the Pshat reading of a text and the Midrashic reading of the text and how it relates to a Halakha that affects us all, whether we are employers or employees. And what does the Torah teach us about the relationship between employers and employees? So in Vayikra, the text reads, Lo ta'ashok et re'acha, ve'lo tigzol, lo talin pe'ulat sachir itecha ad boker. You shouldn't defraud another person. You shouldn't commit robbery. The wages of a laborer shall not remain with you until morning. So this is a way of saying that you should pay your workers on time. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to pay your workers on time. The wages of a laborer shall not remain with you until morning. So that's what it says in Vayikra. This mitzvah appears in Sefer Devarim, again in Deuteronomy, and the language is different there. There it says, Lo ta'ashok sachir ani ve'evyon me'achecha o migerecha asher ba'artzecha bisharecha. You shouldn't abuse a needy and destitute laborer, whether that laborer is a fellow countryman or a stranger in one of the communities of your land. Biyomo titein secharo. You must pay the workers' wages on time. V'lo tavo alav hashemesh ki anihu ve'elav hu noset nafsho v'lo yikra alecha el Hashem v'ya b'chachet. You should pay your worker wages on the same day before the sun sets. And then the Torah gives a reason. This worker is needy and urgently depends on it. That phrase there, looking at the Hebrew, we'll talk a little bit about the Hebrew there. Elav hu nose et nafsho. And then there's a kind of threat here in the text. Otherwise, this worker will call out to God against you and you will incur guilt. In other words, that God is concerned about workers getting paid on time. So it's the same basic principle in the text in Vayikra and in the text in Devarim, that the worker should be paid on time. Devarim adds the point that it doesn't matter whether this is a fellow Jew or a ger asher ba'artzecha bisharecha or a non-Jew who's living in your society. It's a requirement to pay that person on time. And Sefer Devarim in general is more interested in the in highlighting the social aspects of various mitzvot, and it goes into some length here to describe why it is important to pay your workers on time. We notice, though, that back in Vayikra, it says, Lo talin pu'ulat sachir itcha ad boker. The wages of a laborer shall not remain with you until morning. And in Devarim it says, v'yomot iten scharo, pay the worker on the same day, v'lo tavo alav ha-shemesh, before the sun sets. So what is the deadline? Is the deadline to pay before morning, ad boker, as it says here in Vayikra, or is the deadline to pay before the sun sets? In the common halachic solution to this problem, in the continuation, we'll talk about whether this really is such a big problem. But in the meantime, we'll say that there is this, there appears to be a contradiction. Are you supposed to pay your worker before the sun sets, or are you supposed to pay your worker here before morning and here before the sun sets? So Rashi says, outlining the standard halachic position, ad boker, bischir yom hakatub medaber yitziyato misheshaka hachama l'vichach zman gibu iskaro kol ha-layla, v'makom acher hu omer v'lo tavo alav ha-shemesh medaber bischir layla l'fish. Okay, so Rashi says, well, there are two kinds of workers. There are workers who work during the day, and there are workers who work at night. And one text is talking about workers that work during the day, and the other text is talking about workers who work at night. Now, you might think, though, that this means, okay, workers that work during the day, then when should I pay them? You might think maybe that this means that you should pay them during the day, because there's nothing in the specific text that shows us that one of these.
No. That's the text in the chat.
There's somebody. If somebody could please mute themselves, who hasn't muted themselves. There's no intrinsic reason to say that one of these is about somebody who's working during the day and one of them is about working at night. But the standard halachic answer is that one of them is about the worker during the day and one of them the worker at night. And perhaps a little counterintuitively, Rashi continues, Lefish natna Torah zman lebala bayit ona levakesh ma'ot. The reason why employers have the whole night or the whole day to pay wages is because the Torah gives the employers 12 hours to obtain the money they need for paying the wages. So Rashi, representing the answer that's given in the Gemara, says that it means that if you have somebody working for you in the daytime, and then that person finishes the job at the end of the day, you don't have to pay the person as the person is leaving your employ. You have 12 hours to pay them. That the Torah allowed 12 hours for employers to go and get together the money that they need in order to pay the wages. And so that's why, and Rashi says, scripture speaks here of workers hired for day work, and when they finish work at sunset, the time for collecting their wages is therefore the whole night, that you have the entire night for paying their wages. And in Deuteronomy, when it says that you have to pay them before the sunset, that's talking about workers who worked all night for you and who went home in the morning, and you've got 12 hours to pay them. So that's the Talmudic answer. We'll get back to that, but just to see how the standard way of dealing with the problem of the contradiction between these two texts. We'll just talk a little bit about the idea in the text. There are a number of Jewish sources that discuss what really is the idea here. Sefer Achinuch, we were commanded to pay our workers, for they are urgently dependent on the pay. And in the Hebrew there, elav hu noseh et nafsho lehit parnespo. In other words, what it said there in Deuteronomy, v'yomol titen scharo v'lo tavo al ha-shemesh ki ani hu ve'elav hu noseh et nafsho. You should pay your worker on time because the worker urgently needs it. Literally, the soul of the worker is directed towards this pay. That's the reason that the worker is doing that which he is doing, because they want to get paid. And Sefer HaChinuch, 13th century Christian Spain, we don't know the name of the author, it would seem that the requirement to pay within one day is because people have been known to fast for one day from time to time. So why don't you have to pay your worker immediately when the worker leaves your home? Because, well, it happens from time to time that people fast for a day. So it wouldn't be so terrible if this person leaves your employ and doesn't have the, and you haven't paid the person. And so the Torah wrote explicitly what the reason is, for he urgently depends on it. True, the rabbis offered a different midrashic explanation of that phrase, elavu nosed nafsho, which we'll see in a minute. But the pshat is, as we wrote, so people are working. The reason that people are working, the assumption is, you know, in a in an agricultural society, which is when the Torah was given, the Israelites were living in a basically agricultural society, and workers who were working for somebody else were usually doing that work for somebody else because they were in fairly dire straits. And they day laborers, it would seem that this text is talking about day laborers, that it isn't talking about somebody who has a full-time job that you gave them. So it's talking about somebody who you're hiring for a day's work. And, those of you who have cleaning persons who come to your house to do cleaning, it's basically understood that when the cleaning person leaves your house after working all day cleaning your house, that you pay her or him when they leave. And they may, that kind of category of the day laborer, we're acquainted with that category of the day laborer. And then Sefer HaChinuch is, trying to figure out, what's this story with this 12 hours of grace? Where did that come from? And he said, well, sometimes people don't eat right away. Sometimes people fast for up to 24 hours. Many people here just fasted for 24, 25 hours on Saturday night and Sunday of this week for Tisha B'Av. So we all know that it's possible to fast. So that's why the Torah says in the Gemara's understanding that you don't have to pay somebody immediately when they finish doing their job. Now, the approach that's taken by the Talmud and by Rashi appears for the first time. The oldest text that we can find it in is the Sifrei, which is a Tannaitic midrash on the book of Deuteronomy. And in the Sifrei, the text says, "Michlal she'ne'emar ve'elav hu noseh et nafsho, ein li ela melacha shu oseh b'nafsho." So when the Sifri looks at that phrase in Deuteronomy, the phrase that says you should pay the worker on the same day before the sun sets because the worker is needy, the elav hu noseh et nafsho, they have a totally different understanding of that phrase. And it was alluded to already by Sefer HaChinuch. He said, I know there's a different understanding of elav hu noseh et nafsho, but the pshat is, it means that he's dependent on this, that his livelihood, his life is dependent on getting paid. But that's not how the Sifrei understands it. The Sifrei understands it as meaning the worker is endangering his or her life for the sake of the employer. And in the country where I live here in Israel, I don't know what the statistics are like in Canada, but there are there's an unconscionable number of workers who die in construction accidents in this country. People who are up in some building that's being built, and they fall off, or some beam falls off the building and hits them, and they die. My wife, whenever she's walking along the street and sees a construction site and sees that not all the workers are wearing helmets, she has a phone number that you phone, because it's the responsibility of the employer to make sure that every worker who's working on a building has a helmet in order to protect them. And so there are many jobs in which workers really are endangering their lives. And that's how the Sifri understands this phrase, Elavu Noset Nafsho. You know, this person risks their life for your for your employ. That's what it's saying to the employer. And then the Sifrei says, well, what about those people who have jobs that are not so dangerous? How do we know that this rule also applies to people who weave or who card wool, people who have safe jobs or are sitting doing piecework on in some room, preparing garments? And the Sifrei answers, Talmud lomar lo tashok mikol makom, since it says do not abuse, that this is forbidden no matter what the person is doing. It's only at the end of the text that says elavu noset nafsho. Eli ela ani ve'evyon minayin l'rabot kol adam talmud lomar lo tashok mikol makom. And you might think that this only applies if the person who is working for you is poor. What happens if there's somebody working for you and they are not poor? And the Sifrei says, even though the person is not poor, and the rationale that's being given in this text is that this person is needy and needs the money, still there is there's a halachic requirement to pay workers on time. In Cain, Lama Ne'amar Ani Ve'Evyon. So then the Sifrei says, well, why then does it mention needy and destitute in the text? Because God will punish more quickly when the workers are needy and destitute, that there's more concern about that, but the mitzvah of paying workers on time applies to all workers. Now, presumably, this is something that you can contract out of, and you can, if you hire somebody for a job and you say, I'd like you to come and work for me for the next 5 weekdays, and I will pay you at the end of the 5 days. My understanding of halacha is that it's permissible to do that. You don't have to give the payment every day. And in the way in which we pay people who have more permanent kinds of jobs, and they get paid once every 2 weeks or once every month, I don't think that there's any halachic problem with that, as long as there is an understanding when it is that you get paid. Where in the country where I live, the understanding is very, very different from the understanding in Canada where I used to live, in a school where I've been doing some teaching. The pattern is that you get the pay for June on July the 10th, the 10th day of the next month. And when you do piece work in this country, it often becomes even worse when you're hired to do some small job, and you have to invoice afterwards. You generally get paid 30 days or 40 days or 60 days after the end of the month in which you submitted the invoice. But as troubling as actually I find this pattern of not paying workers on time, I don't think that there's any halachic problem with it when it has been contracted. But when people do work for you, when you hire somebody to do work for you, and you say that they are going to get paid X, and you don't say when it is that you are going to pay them, my understanding of halacha is that this text applies to situations like this, that you pay them right away. And sometime when I'm not in a public forum like this, and if somebody gets me, especially get me to let my hair down, I can tell you stories about how various synagogues in the world pay people for services that they provide for them, whether it be teaching or other. It's amazing to me how many synagogues are actually not all that careful about the mitzvah of paying somebody on time. And I'm not talking about a situation when there was an agreement, the payment will be made. It would seem that this text is suggesting that the requirement to pay after somebody does the work applies to everybody here, whether they are impoverished or not, unless, as I said, there was a you contracted out of it by having an agreement beforehand about when the payments would be made. Again, the Sifrei talking about this idea that the rationale behind it is that workers often endanger their lives. The Sifrei goes on, "V'chi lama Allah zeh bakedesh umasar lecha et nafsho." Why did those workers go up on a dangerous ramp? Why is that person in the construction site here in Jerusalem up 10 floors from the ground and endangering their lives on your behalf? Wasn't it obviously so that you would pay them on the same day? Why do people do this? Why do people endanger their lives for their employer? Because they're expecting to get paid. So then, why was it necessary, in fact, to say they love who knows that? And I'm sure we all know that, we learn from this phrase that anyone who withholds workers' wages is considered by scripture as if he took their lives. That the Torah is trying to get across that if you don't pay somebody on time, then it's as if you killed them. The nefesh of the worker, the soul, the life of the worker is tied up with the work that he or she is doing, and the pay that you are supposed to be providing them, that you would agree to be providing them for their work. Another version of the same teaching in the Sifrei is found in the Gemara. Ve'lavu nosed nafsho mipneima ala zeva kevesh v'nitla ba'ilan umasara nafsho l'mitara alos haro. Why did these laborers ascend on a ramp or suspend themselves from trees and risk this? Death wasn't it for their wages. And then the Gemara says, davar acher, or another way of understanding the phrase, elavu nosed nafsho kol hakovesh schar sachir kilu notel nafsho mimenu. It teaches that anyone who withholds the wages of hired laborers, it is as though they took their souls from them. Rav Huna and Rav Chista disagreed. One of them says that it refers to the soul of the robbers, in other words, of the employers. And the other one says that it refers to the soul of the robbery victim, in other words, the unpaid employees. Who has lost his or her life? Is it the worker who didn't get paid, or was it the employer who did not pay? So this is obviously very far from the pshat of the text, as the Sefer HaChinuch said. The pshat is obviously elavu nosed nafsho just really means the worker did this because the worker was looking forward to getting paid. And then, you know, when the worker finishes his or her day of work, you say, okay, sorry, I don't have any money right now. I have to go and try to round up some money to pay you. Then that is an infraction. Okay, back to the first issue that we saw, that Rashi said that there's a distinction here between workers who work during the day and you have all night to pay them according to Rashi. They finish working at sunset time, and then you can pay them any time until the next morning. And workers who work at night, and they finish their work in the morning, and you have the next 12 hours to pay them. The reason why employers have the whole night or the whole day to pay wages, the Torah gives the employers 12 hours. The noun that Rashi uses there, onah, that's a phrase that is used in the Talmud a number of times for the 12 hours of the day or the 12 hours of the night. The half of the 24-hour period is called an ona, so that there's this principle that employers have 12 hours to pay wages. And in the Gemara, here's the source where this comes from. The Mishnah says, Schir yom goveh kol ha-layla, schir layla goveh kol ha-yom. Day laborers can collect wages from their employers all night following the work shift. And night laborers collect wages all of the following day. But then the Talmud, in its discussion of this, says, I think the obvious question would, you know, I kind of alluded to this question, like, where did they get this concept from of 12 hours? And the Talmud says, Ema Ipcha. Why don't we say the opposite? In other words, that night laborers are paid during the night, while day laborers receive their wages during the day. That if somebody works for you all day long and you let them go at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, when the daylight hours are over, that you pay them as they are leaving. And if somebody works for you, that's if somebody works for you all day long, but if they work for you all night long, then you pay them as they leave in the morning. And the idea behind this would be that it seems that people are working because they want to get the money in order to buy their food for themselves and for their family, and they finish their work shift. And why is there no obligation to pay them right away? And the answer of the Talmud is, Schirut eina mishtalemet ela basof. The obligation to pay a wage or to pay for a service is incurred only when the work is completed. That if you have a job and you've contracted, there's a discussion in the Gemara that if you assign somebody a job and agree on a price for the job that is going to be done, and then when they've done a third of the job, a half of the job, two thirds of the job, are they allowed to come and say, I'd like to get paid one third of the wages, half of the wages, two thirds of the wages? This is, again, when there hasn't been a contract about, there hasn't been a written or oral contract between them agreeing precisely how it would be done. It was just agreed. The person's going to do job X and is going to get paid $100, $1,000, whatever it is that they're going to get paid. And then once they've got half of it, the Talmudic conclusion is schirut eina mishtalemet ela basof, which means that if I was contracted to do work all night long and that I just finished at 6 o'clock in the morning as the sun is rising, then nobody owed me that money until 6 o'clock in the morning, because schirut eina mishtalemet ela basof. And it's hard to imagine that at the precise moment when the debt is incurred, that's the Talmud's assumption, they can't say that since the person was working until 6 o'clock in the morning, that the second the 6 o'clock in the morning comes along, they say, I've finished work, and if you don't pay them on the spot that second, that you have committed an infraction, the Talmud says that's not a reasonable kind of conclusion. So this is the basis for the approach that one finds in the halachic literature, and that one finds in Rashi, and that one, and that's based here on the Gemara in Bava Metzia. As many of you know, maybe all of you have been coming to this lecture series, I take a particular interest in the commentary of Rashbam on the Torah, and Rashbam, as he very often does, just goes entirely against the grain of interpretation of all other Jewish, traditional Jewish writers who are writing on the subject. And the verse in Leviticus that says, Lo talin pu'ulat sachir itcha ad boker, you're not allowed to keep the wages of a hired laborer with you until morning. Rashbam says, Schir laila. The text is referring to the wages of an employee who is working at night. In other words, that which I just said, that the Talmud says, is not possible to say that the second that the person finishes working, then you are obligated to pay them at that point when they finish working. That's what Rashbam says. That's what the text is saying. That why is there a, why are there some people who have to be paid by the morning and some people who have to be paid by sunset? Because the people who are working until sunset have to get paid by sunset. And the people who are working until morning have to get paid in the morning. Rashbam just looks at the text. As they say in the baseball world, he calls them as he sees them, or like he sees them. You know, that's what it seems like to me. That's the pshat. That, you know, where did this idea come from? That there are that Rashi said the Torah gave 12 hours to the employer to go and cobble together the wages. I'm putting words in Rashbam's mouth, but I often do that. Rashbam would say, where does it say that? You know, what are you doing employing somebody to come and work for you when you don't have the money to pay them? The example that I gave before of the cleaning person that comes to your house, we have every once in a while a cleaning person who comes and helps with the cleaning of our home. And, you know, it wouldn't cross my mind when the cleaning person leaves to say, you know, actually, I don't have any money right now to pay you. Let's meet 12 hours from now and I'll pay you then. If I bring somebody to clean my home, to do a day's work cleaning my home, then of course I feel the responsibility to have that money there to pay them for the work that they're going to do. And that's what Rashbam is saying here. That's how we should understand this biblical text. Ironically speaking, I actually love these little ironies. Naftali Hertz Wesley was a 18th century Maskil. He was one of the good friends of Moses Mendelssohn. He was considered in many religious circles, he was considered suspect, you know, not being from enough, you know, just like Mendelssohn was considered. You know, Mendelssohn was a Sabbath observant too, as I'm sure most of you know, but he was seen in standard religious circles as being suspect, and so was Wesley. And Wesley was one of the people who was hired by Mendelssohn to write the commentary on the Chumash that Mendelssohn published. Mendelssohn published a Chumash. In a previous lecture series, I talked a little bit about Mendelssohn's Chumash, where he translated the Chumash into German, and he has a commentary that was written by. He wrote the commentary on Exodus himself, and the commentaries on the other books were written by friends, colleagues of his, other Maskilim, other enlightened religious Jews. And Wesley wrote the commentary on Vayikra. And in his commentary here on this verse, he says, in the Talmud, they explain that we should not interpret that Leviticus refers to night laborers, Leviticus by Yikro, where it says, pay them by morning, and Deuteronomy to day laborers. For why? The obligation to pay a wage for a wage or a service is incurred only when the work is completed. So again, that phrase, chirut eina mishtalemet ela basof. Accordingly, how could we say that with night laborers, the transgression occurs in the morning, just at the second that the work finishes, that we say right away, okay, you've committed an aveira because you didn't pay the person, you know, they just finished a second ago. There has to be some time for coming up with the money. And with day workers at sunset, when it wasn't the time to pay before that, the obligation to pay only began right at that moment. So you can't say that the Aveira, the transgression, took place right away. And Wesley writes, the rabbi's words are to be trusted, unlike Rashbam's. Divrehem ne'amanim lo k'divrei Rashbam. This somewhat suspect religious Jew of the 18th century, this Moskill, who in Orthodox circles is, he says, you know, you can't trust Rashbam. You know, Rashbam, the great Talmudist, Tosafist, the serious leader of medieval Jewry. Wesley is saying he's just not quite kosher enough in what he said, that this dangerous pshat-like interpretation. And then he goes on and says, again, the idea behind this text, V'hine, ha-melin sechar sachir eino mityare mibetin, ki omer lo lech vashuv, ve'eniti, ala lifnei makom baruch hu, galui sh'over avera. I think that here Wesley has a fine idea here. People who fail to pay laborers on time generally do this because they don't have any fears of the court, because they don't say directly, I'm not going to pay. Rather, they say, come back another time, or I don't have the money right now. And so it's very hard to, when somebody hasn't paid a laborer, to say that at what point they're going against the desire of the court system. They're brought before the courts and they say, of course I'm going to pay, but I just don't have the money right now. Just give me a little time to get the money together. And that's why the Torah put it in terms of the kara alecha el Hashem. The worker will call out against the employer to God, and God knows whether the employer is really has a reasonable excuse for not paying the person on time, even if the courts do not know. Okay, so here we've seen the tension between the pshat understanding of the text and the midrashic understanding of the text. And as we very often find, Rashbam is the one who represents the pshat understanding of the text. However, in this text, we also have another little surprise coming up, that it isn't just Rashbam, and it isn't just the way Rashbam understood the pshat that is that goes against the midrashic reading. We also have Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, in his commentary on the Torah, who generally is not interested in pshat that goes against the halachic understanding of the text. Ramban is from that category of people like Rashi, who is usually trying to marry the halachic understanding of the text with the words of the text. Rashbam knew very well, he knew that Gemara and Bava Metzia better than any of us knew that Gemara and Bava Metzia. He knew that that's what the Gemara said. He knew that that's what his grandfather Rashi said, but he said, that's not what the words meant. Ramban doesn't do that very often, but for some reason, he allows himself this time to do it. And in fact, he goes beyond Rashbam, surprisingly, as we will see in this comment. The Tambi Omotitin Scharo Velo Tavua Lava Shemesh, Alderach Abshak Beur Mimashin Amarba Torah Lotalin Pulat Sahir Itcha Ad Boker. Actually, the text in Devarim is not talking about a different situation than the text in Vayikra. You know, everybody was saying that one of them is talking about Schir Yom and one of them is talking about Schir Laila. And just the question was, which text was talking about the day labor and which text was talking about the night labor? Ramban says, no. The text in Deuteronomy is just explaining the text in Vayikra. Ki derech haketuvim ledaber bahoveh. It is the custom of biblical verses to speak about the most common occurrence. The word hoveh in this phrase, diber hakatuv bahoveh, does not mean present tense. Hoveh in rabbinic literature means the common occurrence. And of course, what is the common occurrence? When do I have people coming to my house to clean or to help with the electrical wiring of the home? They don't come at night. The people who come to work, they come during the day. That's what the text, both of the texts are actually talking about somebody who comes to work during the day. People generally hire workers to come and work for them for a day, day laborers. And when does the work day finish? Before sunset. You let your worker go before the sun sets so that your worker can get home. There weren't great street lights, neither in biblical times nor in the days of Ramban. So you have a worker working in your home or in your field. You let them go terem bo hashemesh, before the sun sets. That's the normal situation. And if Vayikra and Devarim are both talking about workers, it makes sense. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about workers who are working during the day and are being dismissed and sent home before the sun sets. And the meaning of the text is, in the same way that those of us who have a cleaning person who comes to our home to clean, we understand, we intuit, even if there isn't any law about this, that we intuit that the idea is that if somebody's cleaning in your home, you pay them when they leave, when they finish their day's work. And so that he says that's the mitzvah, that when the person finishes the day's work, you pay him or her. And the sun shouldn't set before the person gets paid. They're being let go. They're being allowed to go home before the sun sets. And they should get paid before the sun sets. Why? And why are we doing that? So they should be able to purchase with their wages what they and their spouse and their children need to eat at night. Oh, sorry, there's no T there in the English side, four lines from the bottom. I'll try to fix it before I send them these texts into you orally. So they need to eat. They need to have dinner. How are they going to have dinner? Well, when the person goes, when the person leaves, then they have to get paid. As the text says, because the assumption is that this person has hired himself or herself out as a worker because they need the money. These workers have staked their lives upon these wages to buy food to sustain their lives. So that seems to be the obvious situation that is being talked about, that somebody is working during the day. And then when that work day finishes, you should pay that person. So Ramban here is going beyond Rashbam in his understanding of the pshat here. He's saying that actually the two texts that say the same thing, pay the worker before sunset, and the text that says don't allow the worker's wages to stay with you till the morning, it's the same thing, because, you know, people aren't generally paying people in the middle of the night. People in the ancient world and even in the medieval world aren't particularly going out at night. And so there are two possibilities. Either you pay the worker before sunset, or you keep the money with you until the morning and pay the worker after the worker can come back tomorrow morning when there is light. And that's the same rule, actually. All it's saying is, according to Ramban, that the pshat is, there aren't two kinds of situations here. There's one situation that says, be sure to pay the worker by sunset. Don't say to the worker, come back tomorrow morning and get the money from me. That's the same thing. Those are the two possibilities, because nobody is going to be collecting wages. It's not like the Interact system that we have now connecting the banks, where it's possible to pay somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't happen in the ancient or in the medieval world. People are getting paid during daylight, and these are two sides of the same thing. One of them is a mitzvah asay, and one of them is a mitzvah lota. So the mitzvah asay is pay the person before sunset, and the mitzvah lota says don't keep that money with you until tomorrow morning. And that's the same thing. If you don't pay them when they leave their work at sunset, they will go home and their wages will be left with you until the morning. They're not going to come at 3 o'clock in the morning and knock on your door and say, could you please pay me now? They're going to wait until the morning in order to come and collect their wages, and they may die of hunger at night. So that is a more radical formulation of the pshat here than the formulation of Rashbam, a more radical in the way in which it is going against the Talmudic understanding. And then he mentions that we should also understand the verse that says that you're supposed to return. I think I'm going to skip that. But if we have time, we'll get back to that. But let's continue with this idea here. The rabboteinu pershu, but the rabbis explain, ki katu batora ad boker bischir yom, v'shav leva'er b'chan din schir Laila. And then Ramban says, you know, I know that this is not the standard rabbinic understanding of the text. Our rabbis have explained that the verse until morning applies to day laborers who depart from work at sundown. The time for paying their wages is the entire night. And this law is not violated before daybreak. And then the Torah explains here the law for laborers who are hired for night work, whose departure from work is at daybreak, and the time for paying their wages is the whole day. And the law isn't violated until sundown. And that gives you the standard halachic position, what Rashi said, that we give any employer, an onah, a period of 12 hours to pay. And so what's Ramban going to do here with the tension between the pshat understanding of the verse, as he explained it, and the halachic understanding of the verse that he is well acquainted with, being the great Talmudic scholar that he was? And he says, oh, this means that an employer always has 12 hours to pay wages. And then he says, v'hu ha'emet b'kabbalah v'hana'ot b'ta'am Nachon. He says, this is the truth as received by tradition, and it's an appropriate understanding with good, it's a sensible understanding of the text. It makes sense. He doesn't explain why he thinks that it makes sense. And I've always been attracted to the medieval and modern readers of the text who are able to do this juggling act, the juggling act of having the, here's what the text really means. You know, he told us here's the pshat that, you know, obviously it's talking about the same person, and the workers that it's talking about have to be day workers. That's obviously the pshat of the text. So pshat is this kind of intellectual exercise. It's a close reading exercise. You're doing a close reading of the biblical text. You're asking yourself, well, what does it make sense? What kind of workers are being talked about in this text? And when would it make sense to be paying? But then when it comes to halacha, Ramban, like Rashi, and like other commentators that we said, are, you know, they defer to the halakhic understanding. I've also said often, and perhaps I didn't say it here today, but I'm sure that Rashbam also defers to the halakhic understanding of the text if he's asked, what is the halakha? But Rashbam says, you want to know what the pshat is? Here is the pshat. And then Ramban here juxtaposes, puts beside each other these two understandings that are so different from each other. And amazingly, he's able to live with the tension between the halakhic understanding of the text, the midrashic understanding of the text, and the pshat understanding of the text. Is this an inconsistent juggling act, or is this really a reasonable approach to the issue of the close reading of biblical texts and the deferring to tradition? And so I assume that Ramban would say that this is a reasonable way to balance these two actions, the pshat action and the midrashic action. Okay, I will stop here and take a look at the chat and see what we've got there. I'll start towards the beginning. What's the source of the displayed translation? Gidon asks. The displayed translation of the Torah comes from the New Jewish Publication Society translation. The translation of any other text I take responsibility for. For Ramban, I used Chevelle as a basis, but I changed it considerably. And the Rashi also, changed it. The time limit changed. Zev said, yes, the time limit was defined as being 12 hours. Somebody wrote a private message to me. What exactly is a ger, a stranger, a non-Jew, or a convert? You know, gercha asher bisharecha. That even in the halachic understanding of the text, I would say that in the pshat, ger clearly means a stranger. It clearly means somebody who isn't one of the members of the covenant. But even those who generally try to say that ger means a convert, usually about the phrase ger sha'ar, see that as not referring to a convert. Who would have been working at night, Jeff or Martha asks, who would have been working at night back then, watchmen? That's precisely the question that we saw towards the end of the text. You know, that's what Ramban says. Who's going to be working at night? Everybody's going to be working during the day. Yes. And someone else sent me a message that in Canada, the death rate of construction in Ontario is about 20 every year. I think it's worse here, but that's not a wonderful statistic for Ontario either. Ontario has a larger population than Israel, if I'm not mistaken, and still we have more deaths here from construction accidents in Israel. Is the translation of Nose as Nasho as in danger life supported by other biblical texts? Gershon asks, and I would say I don't think so. Gidon asked, or 90 days to pay? Yes, that sometimes here in Israel, when you submit an invoice, they say, okay, we'll take a look at it at the end of the month, and then 90 days later, we will pay you. Were the rabbis ever accused or suspected of interpreting halakha in favor, say, of an employer for personal benefit or a business contract, talking about a bribe, conflict of interest? Okay, I don't think so. But in the text that I didn't get to, that I thought that I might get to today, a suggestion is made that at times the rabbis did have concern about the rights of an employer, not because of any particular benefit that were coming to them, but they wanted to make sure not to be too tough on the employer because they wanted employers to be giving jobs to people. And you could say that perhaps if we say that, if we don't accept what the Ramban said this 12-hour business comes from tradition, that there was a Masoret, there was Kabbalah. When he says Kabbalah, he doesn't mean mysticism, he means a tradition that there's 12 hours to pay. If we want to disagree with him and say that this was legislation of the rabbi, some people might say that it's legislation of the rabbi, so you might say that they came up with this because they didn't... They were concerned. The Torah is concerned about the rights of the employee, and the rabbis are also concerned about the rights of the employer, and they understand. But the Talmud often talks about shalot, that there are various rules that were made on behalf of the rights of creditors. Shalot tinol delat bifne lovin, because if you make it too hard to collect a debt, then nobody is going to be willing to lend money to a poor person. And that sometimes rules have to be made. If you want to have money circulating in society, then you have to have some rules that defend the rights of the creditors, the people who lent the money. In many monetary matters, minhag hamakom governs, Ellen said, definitely correct. And so if there is a minhag where you live, that's shotef plus 30 days, shotef plus 60 days, whatever it is, the minhag in various places in this country, in Israel, then if that's the minhag. If you don't get paid, or the place where I've been teaching, you don't get paid for June until July the 10th. If that's the minhag hamakom, that's the minhag hamakom. Could the machloket between Vayikra and Devarim be regarded when the day ends? Is that at sunset as the halacha decides, or next dawn as per Rashbam in the suppressed commentary to Genesis 1? Interesting thought, Gershon. In the end, I think that I agree with Ramban that it's the Zelbazach. It's the same thing, because nobody's going to be collecting pay at night. When the merchant works late to sell food to the laborers, yes, that does seem to be the assumption here, that the grocery stores are open a little bit past. In the Ramban's text, that you have to say that if you're letting the worker go home just before sunset and you're giving the worker his or her wages, then it must mean that at least the grocery store is staying open a little while past sunset. Steve asks, what value would there be to allowing the employer to delay payment for 12 hours? You know, I've thought about that a lot, and I don't know what the value of it is. How would he have access to funds that he doesn't already have during the night? These are all fine questions, Steve. It just allows him to be disorganized and not have the funds ready at the end of the day. And maybe you're right, Steve, that that's what it's that's what it's about, and that some of us are less organized and some of us are more organized. And the Torah has rachmanis on those people who are poorly organized. Ilana writes, it sounds like Rashbam and Ramban and their explanations are bringing the pshat as the ideal for society. I like that. Indeed, ideally, employees should be paid right away, but it's a mode of understanding, and how we paskin lahalacha, how we rule halachically, reflects a more realistic standard that not everybody's going to be able to pay right away. B says, in biblical times, people did not live in giant cities like today with currency easily available necessarily. I agree. And B writes in Yiddish, Mama Loshan, for a Ginnigan Sahara. Now that's a pleasure to hear a little Yiddish. You shouldn't expect a Machaya for the Iron. You shouldn't expect a lot of Yiddish. That much Yiddish, B, I'm able to understand. And thank you for complimenting me on my fractured Yiddish. What about checking on the work? It takes time. That's a good suggestion someone sent privately to me, that when the worker finishes, then you need to give the employer a while to make sure that the work was done the way it was supposed to be done. I like that, Sue. I like that. Whoever wrote that privately and didn't want his or her name to be mentioned here. Nice idea. Okay. And I think that is it. And it is 7 p.m. In Israel and noon where you people are. If anybody wants to unmute himself or herself and say something now, feel free. If not, I wish everybody a pleasant summer, and let us hope that wherever people are living, that the regulations soon allow returning to a normal kind of life, or whatever is close to a normal kind of life.
Thank you for this lecture. It's been wonderful.
We'll look about. But you couldn't check on much during the night anyway.
Yes. How much could you be checking during the night when the worker finishes at sunset, then go around and check to see whether whether he or she actually cleaned the...
It's more a matter of, you know, when you have a worker and that they can run off and leave things, and you have a night, if it collapses, if it, you know, let's say they're doing your field and the you see the animal bumps against it, it wasn't a good job. You do like a little time. It's not much, but at least it's better than nothing.
Yes, I really do like that. That's a creative answer to the question that I wondered at a lot about what would be the idea behind this these 12 hours. And what Ramban says there, that this is true according to tradition, it's Talmudic tradition. And then he says, Bahana'ot, how do they put it? Bahana'ot, betam, nachon, that it also makes sense. And I was wondering why he argued that it made sense, but we heard an explanation.
Well, can I make another comment, like an anti-Semitic comment here, or whatever? In the rabbinic way of thinking, if something has to be done at time t, if it's done at time t plus epsilon, you blew it.
That's right. Yes.
So you would have to give people some amount of leeway about paying the wage.
Yeah, that seems to see what
Wendell just sort of said. Well,
that
if the amount is an ona. I mean, because obviously, if it's due at sunset and you pay at sunset plus a second, you're bad.
So
they can't put you in that situation.
Very good. And that's what Wesley says to try to justify the rabbinic approach, that they can't put you in that kind of situation. 1, 7, 4, 9, 6, 2, 2. Okay. All the best to all of you. And
thank you
for your assistance today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful lecture. And thank you to everyone who came and attended.
Be well.
Much going on this week, and I'll put the program link, link to the program page in case anybody wants to see in the chat.
Okay, I guess Shana Tova to everybody.